Seeing a little bit of strength in the grains and oil seeds and cattle on the day Thursday. You're listening to the American Ag Network. I'm Jesse Allen reporting. Time now for our market wrap-up. Joining us, David Erickson with Ag Optimists in Akron, Iowa. David, welcome back to the market wrap-up. Let's talk about this grain trade on Thursday. Soybeans, kind of the leader, helping out that corn market and even wheat a little bit. Have to wonder your thoughts. Was it some spillover support in soy from that NOPA crush number that came out Wednesday? Was it just some good money flow? What's your feeling after Thursday's trade in that soy complex?
Well, you know, I think there's a number of things. And I think if you peel the onion way back, Jesse, I think that you can really look back to the end of last week when we had the wheat kind of showing a little bit of life and a little bit of support. And then that kind of spilled into the corn. Earlier this week, we've seen a couple pretty decent corn closes. And then finally, the soybeans are starting to catch a little bit of life there. And, you know, who knows exactly what the catalyst is overall for this support that we're seeing. But I think the biggest thing is that, you know, we've been going through this government shutdown for over 2 weeks. So we've seen some of the government numbers that haven't seen all of them. And, you know, there are some pretty critical reports that I think a lot of traders pay attention to. And we've just had to kind of lean on analysts, which, you know, the analysts have enough information in front of them right now that, you know, they don't have to rely on the government as much as they had. But I think that maybe perhaps the market is starting to wake up to the fact that, you know, at the end of the day, we're not going to have China as a huge trade partner, at least for a little bit or a little while from now. We have been working through trying to get some of those agreements taken care of, but the government shutdown and the budget is maybe taking a little bit of that attention away. So I really love him, hate him, whatever, as far as the administration goes, I really do enjoy the words that President Trump echoed yesterday when he was saying that, you know, maybe we need to look at producing some of these things within our own borders and not importing them. And the first thing that he kind of targeted was vegetable oils. And I really think that we can find a lot of these different outlets that we can make use for those, and they can be useful moving forward. And we wouldn't have to be so reliant on our export trade.
That's a great, great point there. And I wonder as well, you know, with the void of, you know, government reports and things like that, you know, we don't have, you know, weekly crop progress, for instance, and things like that. Harvest, some of that seasonal harvest pressure maybe still at play in these grain markets to a degree. I know I've heard some anecdotal reports about, you know, southern rust impacting corn yields, which we wondered what that was going to be like in the Midwest here this year. And so have to wonder if some of those anecdotal harvest reports are also kind of a factor here in this market trade right now.
Well, I will tell you that in my office, I am pretty beneficial that I have a Pioneer seed dealer that sits right across the way from me. So I, from time to time, I happen to get a good amount of people that are in the know within the Pioneer realm. And one thing that actually the guy who kind of oversees the entire state of Iowa was in the office yesterday, and he said that their impact plots, which are kind of their flagship plots, however you want to look at it. But at the end of the day, he was saying that they were down roughly about 20% across the board, across the state of Iowa. Fortunately, in Northwest Iowa, where we are located, and there's portions of Northwest Iowa that are impacted, but we haven't really seen that impact. We haven't seen a lot of southern rust. We've seen a lot of a little bit of sudden death, but it's all kind of, and this happens every year during harvest. You see a lot of different pockets that are impacted in different ways. But at the end of the day, here's what I think, that when these initial yield projections came out, I think a lot of people just thought that, hey, it rained all summer, we should have a bountiful crop. We should have, you know, we should be sitting really good. And I think we're starting to see that perhaps we didn't get rain at the right times. We got too much heat at the right times. I mean, it takes more than rain to just grow a perfect corn crop. And I think that's what we're starting to see. And we'll have to wait and see when the final yield comes out or when the next yield projection comes out. But I think we've seen a lot of these private analysts that I mentioned earlier. I think we've seen them kind of back their expectations off a little bit. And I think that we will ultimately see a little bit of a back off on the final yield side of things when it comes to the USDA when they do come out with their next projection.
We should talk about the cattle trade before we wrap up here today. You know, Wednesday's futures action, it seemed like it was maybe some spread trading. It was a bit of a pause day, but here we are finding more support in cattle futures. I know things on the cash front start to get some bids out there Thursday afternoon, kind of 240 live, 370 dressed. I mean, you know, what could you say about cattle? It just, we continue to find more strength to the upside here, it seems, David.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, the kind of running joke, I will say a running joke, because we obviously know that it's not true and it's obviously going to come to an end. But the running joke within our office and with a lot of our customers is there's never going to be another bad day. And but as far as this week goes, we are seeing, as you talked about it a little bit earlier, 372 in the meat, 240 live. Those are quite a bit higher than where we were last week, depending on what numbers you want to look at, but, you know, definitely off of the average. And the market has kind of reacted accordingly. The biggest question that I have is, you know, is that enough? And when I say that, I mean that in kind of twofold. First of all, with the people that are looking to replace those cattle that they just sold, yeah, they made a ton of money on those, and so they have a little bit of a cushion when they go to replace, if they want to replace, which most of them do. That's just kind of the nature of the cattle feeder. But if they go to replace, is that enough to lay off some risk where they need to be down the road? And according to my pencil and according to the way that I'm looking at things, it's quite frankly not. And on the other side of things, is it enough given how much the feeder cattle have pushed higher? And I know I'm kind of saying the same thing twice, but I think that everyone needs to be a little bit cognizant of how much the feeder cattle have pushed up and what is and the relationship between the live cattle and the feeder cattle, because I don't think that the live cattle have pushed up enough to justify the move that we've experienced in the feeder cattle. So I think that's the biggest thing that we need to be paying attention to. And then also, are the packers able to push the meat up high enough? Are they able to get enough for the product that they are producing from these animals that they are buying at these higher and higher levels to keep their margins at least intact? I know that they ran in the red for a while and then they backed off their kills and they got back in the black, but I think that they're probably drifting closer to into the red if they're not already there. So we need to be cognizant of that and pay attention to that overall. and see if how they're able to balance that moving forward.
Great thoughts, David. If folks want to reach out to you and have a conversation there at Ag Optimist, what's the best way?
Yeah, best way is to just give me a phone call. I love talking on the phone at 712-435-7402. If they want to reach out to us via the website, it's AgOptimus, AgOptimus.com.
And always remember that risk of trading futures and or options can be substantial. David Erickson with Ag Optimist, thanks for joining us on today's market wrap-up. We appreciate it.
Sounds good. Thank you.
And that's going to do it for today's market wrap-up here on the American Ag Network. I'm Jesse Allen reporting.